ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్ నాట్ అవుట్సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and it is indeed. Every day you go into the Sai Kulwant Hall, every day you sit for a bhajan session, every day you look at the faces of people coming out of Mandir, every day you see how people are connecting to Prashant Nilayam from wherever they are. Every day you listen to stories of how people are longing to be in Prashant Nilayam, longing to stay in Prashant Nilayam, longing to be back, to breathe this air, to feel this presence. That is what is the power of Prashanti. And as I always have mentioned, Prashanti is what it is because love, pure love, just gave itself away completely. And inspired by this love, there are so many who led lives of sacrifice, lives of selflessness, lives of dedication, lives of absolute surrender. And in this series, Beacons of Prashant Nilayam, it has been my endeavor to share with you some of these stories, some of these tales, the stories of Mrs. Ratanlal, the stories of Mr. Raman Rao, the story of Mr. Wadegaonkar, the story of Mr. Peddareddy, who has looked after Sai Geeta all her life. So many such stories, and we have been going through the story of Mrs. Surya Kantamagaru in the last few episodes. And I have narrated the story of how she came to Bhagwan way back in 1961 and how slowly she developed her conviction in Bhagwan, absolute faith, and how Bhagwan took him on various trips that he made in 1963-64. Swami took her along for the trips he made to Srisailam, to Bhadrachalam, and how Bhagwan promised her that he would come to her village, the village of Satyavada in the Godavari district. And when I began narrating the story of Bhagwan's visit to her place, I discovered how Bhagwan went to so many places during that trip between March 21st and April 6th, 1965. Bhagwan was in several little towns and villages, and the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha, the institution that Bhagwan had inaugurated the year before in 1964 to propagate the principles of Indian culture, was in full swing, and Bhagwan was moving from village to village, exhorting people to go back to the roots of India's ancient spiritual heritage. And as I read these accounts, as I tried to relive this beautiful saga of Bhagwan's journey to several hamlets, several hearts in the East and West Godavari districts, I paused the story of Surya Kantamagaru and started narrating to you what happened in all these places before Bhagwan visited Satyavada And today perhaps is the penultimate session when we will be going through this. In the next session, we will definitely talk about what happened when Bhagwan went finally to Satyavada. But today, I'm going to share with you what happened when Bhagwan was in Rajahmundry, 2-3 days before Bhagwan went to Satyavada. As I had told you before, Bhagwan left Vrindavan on the 21st of March, and from there Bhagwan had gone to Sulurpet, and later on Bhagwan visited Kakinada. In Kakinada, there was a 3-day session of the Prashanti Vidvan Mahasabha, just like it happened in Rajahmundry. 3-day session. After Kakinada, Bhagwan went to Amalapuram. From Amalapuram, Bhagwan came to Rajahmundry. And I narrated to you in the previous session how on the 30th of March, Bhagwan inaugurated at the Kashi Visveshwara temple at Inispet in Rajahmundry, a 3-day Rudra Yagnam. This was arranged by the Prashanti Vidvan Mahasabha committee members. And Bhagwan spoke on the 30th. Bhagwan spoke on the 31st. Bhagwan spoke on the 1st. Every single day Bhagwan was speaking. On 30th, the meeting was presided over by the Honorable Minister of Law of the Government of Andhra Pradesh, then Mr. P.V. Narasimha Rao, who later on became the Prime Minister of the country. And I told you how Bhagwan mentioned in the discourse he gave on 30th of March 1965 about the final offering that was made into the sacrificial fire, and how after that was done, unexpected rain showered from the skies just 5 minutes after that. And then Bhagwan referred to this and emphasized the importance of yajnas, these Vedic rituals, and how, as it is mentioned in the scriptures, all these Vedic sacrifices have tremendous value and they encourage and foster the natural cycles of nature, and that is how you have rain immediately after the sacrifice. And Bhagwan mentioned about how one must foster the Vedas as well as the people who have knowledge of the Vedas, the Brahmins and the Pandits, because it is through them that we can go back and learn the scriptures. And on the 31st, Bhagwan mentioned, let me summarize for you what is your duty. And Swami very clearly said 5 things that you should do. These are your duties. First, look after your parents with love and reverence, with gratitude. Second, satyam vada dharmam chara, speak the truth and act virtuously. Third, whenever you have few moments to spare, repeat the name of the Lord. Have the form of the Lord in your heart and chant His name. Fourth duty, don't talk ill of others. Don't try to find fault in others. Finally, don't cause pain to others. Paropakaraya punyaya papaya parapidanam ashtadeshu puraneshu vyashasya vachanadvayam. Bhagwan used to mention this, how after going through all the 18 Puranas, Vyasa, the great sage, finally said, I am giving you the essence of all the 18 Puranas. Paropakaraya punyaya. When you do something for others, selflessly, that is what is merit. When you hurt others, that is demerit. So on the 1st of April, the final day of the Prashanti Vidvan Mahasabha, at Rajahmundry, Bhagwan, in his divine discourse, said, matters of the spirit are matters of experience. Very difficult to communicate the matters of the spirit because they are beyond human logic and language, they have to be experienced. Can we ever describe the fragrance of a flower? We have to only tell that person, you go and smell it yourself. Very difficult to experience, very difficult to communicate the fragrance of a flower, isn't it? How can we communicate the joy of looking at the sweet, innocent, beautiful smile of a little one? These are matters of experience and spirituality. Matters of the spirit are in this league, and they're even more complex. Bhagwan said, some people with limited understanding, they carp at Vedanta. They say all these people who are reading the scriptures, they are lazy people. They are not doing their job. They are abdicating their responsibilities. Swami said, the first responsibility everyone has is to himself or herself. The monks, the sannyasis, Swami said, are the mistletoes. People think like that these people are like idle parasites, because they only talk about God and they talk about scriptures. They don't do any real physical work, or they don't do any quote-unquote job that other people do. Swami says, you cannot condemn this institution of monks, institution of sannyas. What idea do you have of their inner urges? Swami said, there are countless number of such devoted men and women in this country. And I know how genuine they are. I know because I am with them. Sometimes you may be misled by the quantity, variety and the cost of flowers, or the tears flowing from the eyes, or the hymns sung by the tongue, or the hours of listening to divine stories that a man might have to his credit. But I am there inside that person. I know the genuineness of what he's doing, the genuineness of his feelings. Swami was talking about these pundits. In fact, there were so many luminaries of Telugu literature on that day in Rajahmundry. The 1st of April 1965, there was the great Vemparla Surya Narayana Shastri. He was explaining the meaning of Upadesha Panchakam, which was composed by Sri Adi Shankaracharya. He's one of the gigantic scholars, poets and critics who has enriched Vedic traditions and strode through Telugu literary scene like a colossus over 7 decades. He was born into a Vedic family. For 7 generations, his forefathers were well-versed in the Vedas and in the performance of yajnas. He mastered ancient classical verses like a duck takes to water. Though by profession he was a Telugu teacher, but he joined hands with many scholars like Jayanti Ramayya Pantulu, Shripada Lakshmipati Shastri Garu, and played a very important role in the arbitration over the semantic and phonetic disputes in Telugu. The compilation of his encyclopedia saw the light of the day under the benevolent patronage of the Maharaja of Pithapuram. And he composed many classic works like Venkateshwara Satakam, Munitraya Charitra, Shankara Vijayam, a full-length commentary on Manu Charitram and Prabhavati Pradumnam. He was also an undaunted nationalist, a patriotic person who wrote spirit-stirring poems during the freedom movement, and his literary work made the British Raj jittery, as they say. And for all of these exceptional contributions, the Andhra University bestowed on him the title Kala Prapurna. People used to call him Vidwat Kavi Shekhara when he completed Shankara Vijayam. So you had scholars who were doyens of literature, and Bhagwan was talking about these people. There was also Kalluri Veerabhadra Shastri. He had written a famous book on Tyagaraja Kirtanas, and he talked about the yearning of Tyagaraja for the vision of Rama. Bhagwan in his discourse said, there are so many people like this. We have to seek these people. We have to discover these people. We have to foster these people. We have to seek the company of the good. We have to seek the company of such seekers, such aspirants, such detached people. Then it will help you to see the light. You have to listen to holy scriptures, read sacred books. Holy place, holy river, holy company, holy day. Swami says, when all of these come together, isn't that such a beautiful chance of a lifetime for you? That is how it was for the people there. Bhagwan was there and such great scholars were there, and it could not have been holier than that. You're listening to holiest of things in the presence of holiest of people in the holiest of days, on the banks of holiest of rivers. Swami said people do not know how to convert their holidays into holy days. They spend it going out in picnics and making merry and things like that. Bhagwan said, look at the life of Markandeya. Markandeya held tight the Shivalingam. And because he attached himself to Shiva, when Yama came and Yama put the noose on him, that noose bound both himself and Shiva. And that is how the boy was saved. So Bhagwan said, you attach yourself to God, just like Markandeya attached himself to God. Then nothing will happen to you. Even if Yama comes, even if death comes, even if disease comes, even if there is the greatest of tragedies that you have to go through, because you are attached to the highest, you will be saved. And God's grace can wipe off the past, Swami said. Sat prayatna, sat sangha, sadhachara, good effort, good company, good practices, all of them will ensure happiness for you. Bhagwan referred to the three cardinal principles of the Hindu faith. First, belief in a series of births. The Hindu culture, the Indian culture, rests on the belief of rebirth. We come back to face the consequences, to go through the consequences of our actions. And our existence is not an isolated existence. It is one in a series of lives towards the final culmination. The second principle and second belief of Indian culture is the belief in avatar, belief in God coming down in human form for the re-establishment of dharma, to give joy, to transform hearts. And the third belief system of Indian culture is the belief in karma, the fact that every activity having its inevitable consequence and of human destiny being shaped by cumulative effect of all of these consequences. Bhagwan said, karma is the cause of births. The soul undergoes different ordeals to clear off the accounts and become free of both punya and papa, become free of credit and debit, merit and demerit. Swami says, somebody might ask, then why is it that in this life we don't remember anything that happened to us in the previous life? If we know, then we'll be very careful. We know that this is what we did, and that's why we are going through this. So that will help us to be careful, and that will help us to plan our actions. And Bhagwan said, it is like a man knowing so many languages. So when you speak Tamil, then Telugu words don't come to your mind. When you speak English, then you think in English and you speak. Swami said, if you concentrate, you can know. You can know what happened to you in the previous birth if you concentrate. But that can happen if you give up the attachment to this life and this birth. If you give up this attachment, then you can access what happened in your earlier births. And to some extent, the hypnotists and other people do this, isn't it? They're able to take us to other births, other lifetimes. But what is more important is to focus on the reality. Swami says when a movie is going on, you have volcanoes happening on the screen, dam bursting and flood happening on the screen, but everything just happens on the screen, isn't it? The screen is not burnt, nor does it get wet. That is the truth. That screen is the truth. Everything on top of it is an illusion. Everything that we go through in life, these floods and dams and volcanoes and everything that we go through in life, they are just illusions, like things that happen on the screen. The screen is not affected. The screen is the reality. That is the basis. Without the screen, there are no images. Swami says, if you focus on that screen, focus on the reality, then we will have great peace, we'll have great joy. Bhagwan went on in this beautiful discourse, giving lovely analogies. Swami said, a tree that bore plenty of fruits dried very quickly. And someone said, oh, maybe someone cast an evil eye on this tree. Some others said, no, maybe it was not watered well. A third person said, oh, we don't know. Maybe it got an attack by animals. But when the forest officer came, the forest officer said, no, this is not the reason why the tree did not give plenty of fruits and it just perished very quickly. The reason is the roots of this tree were affected by a pest. Swami says, in the same manner, we can do many things, but if you're not getting the fruits, because somewhere the roots are affected. And what is these roots? The roots of ego. The pest of ego affecting our self, ego and hatred. Swami says, these are what is affecting the roots of our personality. And that's why we are not able to experience the fruits of our spiritual actions. Bhagwan said, many people question, Prashanti Vidyan Mahasabha is already in his second year. What has it achieved? I'm not going from place to place to seek publicity for myself, Swami said. I don't need publicity. Nor do these pundits need any publicity. They are very happy doing what they are doing. And I don't need to do anything to get attention. The Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha is here to reinvigorate in the hearts and minds the interest for spiritual knowledge. Swami said, see how the appetite for spiritual knowledge has increased tremendously. Earlier, for spiritual talks, there'll be very few people who'd gather. But now you see there are lakhs of people who have gathered. There's a flood of humanity eager to know. So in all of them, the seeds have sprouted. They will become evident with time by careful fostering. And there will be a beautiful harvest. The seeds of the Lord's name have been sown in the lakhs of hearts. The fostering, Swami said, is your duty. The seed has been sown today. You have to foster it. Once you foster it, I will do its rakshana. I will protect it. That will be my pleasure, Swami said. Fostering the saplings is your duty. Protecting them from harm is my pleasure. Bhagavan said, the Lord's name that you have tasted and you have developed this interest for, foster it, and I will protect it. And Bhagavan, everywhere Bhagavan went, he was asking people to do the simple sadhana of Namasmarana, chant the name, keeping the form of the name, form of the Lord in the eyes, in the heart, and go back to the roots of India's ancient spiritual culture and tradition.
Narayan,
That is the beautiful power of Narayana, and how when you keep chanting those names, you want to keep singing again and again. You want to just lose yourself listening. Shravanam, mananam, kirtanam, isn't it? And that is what Bhagwan exhorted. Bhagwan put all these lakhs of people onto that path. And in fact, if you see so many devotees today, they are third generation, fourth generation of the devotees who were there when Bhagwan went to east-west Godavari districts. In fact, so many people have committed their lives to Bhagwan because of that one darshan, that one touch, one moment with Bhagwan, one discourse that they heard on the 2nd of April 1965. The three-day yagnam concluded with a grand purnahuti, and Bhagwan, as the yagna purusha himself, accepted that purnahuti. And as I mentioned before, there were beautiful showers on every day. There were beautiful showers, and this was such a welcome thing happening, because Rajahmundry in these months, March, April, is very hot, and those showers from the sky during these times, unexpected showers and showers which cooled everyone and were a testimony to the power of what is mentioned in the scriptures. Swami emphasized on the validity of the Shastras. And in the evening of 2nd April, Bhagwan again presided over a mammoth gathering at the Hindu Samaj, where the Gita committee there honored three revered Sanskrit scholars. Bulusu Appana Shastri, he was called as Nyaya Vedanta Vidya Praveena. He was also known as Tarak Ratna because of his mastery over Vedanta. He had written Sri Bhagavad Gita Shankara Bhasya Tattva Bodhini. Like this, there was also Varanasi Subramanya Shastri, who was known throughout India as Bala Vyasa. He was considered like a Vyasa because of his scholarship in Nyaya, in Vyakarana, in Vedanta. He had written 10 books, 13 publications on Ramayana, Mahabharata, on Bhagavad Gita, on so many things. There was also Kolluru Somashekhara Shastri, who had the title as Darshana Bhushana, Chatushtantri. All of these people were felicitated by Bhagwan. And there was Brahmashri Remila Surya Prakasha Shastri, who was an authority in scriptures. He extolled the achievements of these three scholars, and Bhagwan then gave his divine discourse. Appanna Shastri in his talk had described about the essence of the Vedas. Subramanya Shastri declared in his talk about the Gita, and he said how Gita could calm all the hesitancies of modern mind. And Somashekhara Shastri also talked about how Gita is a Upanishad, how Gita is a yoga, how Gita is a Brahma Vidya. And then when Bhagwan rose to speak, Bhagwan said, what is yoga? Joining the particular with the universal, the limited with the unlimited, the river with the sea. This process is called yoga. And this can be achieved through bhakti or karma or jnana, Bhagwan said. You must develop this attitude of merging with the divine in all that you do. This attitude of dedication, of surrender to his will. Swami said, this is the best means of realizing him. The Gita, about which all the four pandits whom you are honoring today spoke, Bhagwan was saying, all of them talked about the Gita, but the Gita was the result of Arjuna's surrender, isn't it? Gita happened because of Arjuna's surrender. And the Gita does not prescribe the same remedy for all. Each must get himself or herself diagnosed by an experienced doctor of the spirit, Swami said, and then follow the advice until you reach the stage where you are all the time in equanimity and you can figure out what is happening in your life on your own. But you don't need to learn all the slokas and all the commentaries by heart. You don't have to exhibit your scholarship. You don't have to engage in contest with other scholars. Swami said, it is enough if you just put into practice one sloka. One shloka that suits your spiritual stage. And this is where you will need guidance. Or you have to pray to the Lord. Whatever appeals to you, take one shloka. Once you take that first step will take you nearer to the second step. And the second step will take you nearer to the third. Third will become easier. Fourth will become even easy. Bhagwan said, if you take the cow and think of the cow as the representative of dharma, if the cow is the dharma, then the four Vedas are like the teats in the udder of the cow. And what is the milk that the cow is giving? The cow that is the dharma. It is the life-sustaining milk. And who milked this cow? Gopala, Krishna milked this cow which has four Vedas in its udder. And the milk that flowed was Gita, Swami said. There is no point if you put the medicine which has to be eaten into your ear, isn't it? Only if you drink it, then it will act and it will strengthen the bloodstream. Swami said, similarly, what has to be taken in, it has to be taken in. If Gita has to be taken in, you have to internalize it, then put into practice. There are two statements in Gita, Bhagavan said. Both are complementary. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, the man with steady faith gets wisdom. Samshayatma vinashyati, the one who doubts perishes. The doubt that overpowered Arjuna was removed by the teaching of Krishna. And that is when he got Shraddha. Once the doubts go, then Shraddha develops, interest develops. Once that Shraddha develops, then you can get Jnanam. The Gita, Bhagavan said, is a conversation between Jiva and Brahma, between the limited and the unlimited. The limited, or rather the idea of the limited, because there is nothing that is limited once you identify yourself with the unlimited. Bhagavan said, seeing one's own reality is the opening of the doors of liberation. But how can you see your reality? if when we look into the mirror gives us our reflection because the mirror is coated on one side, isn't it? With mercury, with chemicals. Similarly, if the mirror of our heart is coated with Satya and Dharma, Swami says, then you can see your own reality. You will see your own image there. Then every act of yours, you will find reality. Don't worry about the burden of the past acts and what consequences you have to go through. Swami said, the grace of the Lord will burn all that. In a flash, God can burn your karma and reveal to you the reality. God will save you from all that burden. If you see yourself in all and all in you, that is what is reality. Therefore, you have to develop the same quantity and quality of love that you have for me towards all others. This is the bottom line. The way we love God, we should be able to love everybody around. Swami says, then you will not say that this house is mine or this street is mine, because you identify yourself not with a particular but with the universal. Once you have this idea, Swami said, the Lord will be so easily moved. God is like, he's like butter. A little warmth is enough to melt his heart. Swami says, God's heart is like butter. See how Prahlada approached him, and the ferocity of Narasimha form of the Lord also cooled down because of the love of Prahlada. Bhagwan referred to all the pandits who were honored that day and said, see, we have such people who for 30-40 years have been preserving and propagating these vital truths, and there are so many more of this caliber. We have to recognize them, we have to honor them. We have to promote such knowledge. It is not easy to be a Brahmin and to do the work that these people are doing, because they have imposed so many restrictions on themselves, on their movements, on their acts. And why have they done it? Because they want to do this, to maintain that purity and to be of welfare to humanity. And that is what Indian culture is. Indian culture all the time seeks the welfare of humanity. And because this is the principle of Indian culture, this is the focus of Indian culture has survived. So many other civilizations perished with time, but this is the civilization for tens and thousands of years it has survived. Because it is built on the foundation of Vedas. And Vedas are the authentic experience of the seers, of the sages. Swami said, imagine the enormous efforts of these seers. It is because of them that the path of spiritual progress has become easy for others. Once you have this path, once you have such beautiful guidance, take that first step. Once you take the first step, you will immediately see how whatever they have said is so authentic. Develop that confidence, Swami said. The Gita must be carried by this Samaj to the villages, and its message must be instilled into the daily lives of our people, Bhagwan exhorted the gathering. Follow the Gita in your daily life. Develop confidence in yourself and in the culture you have grown up. You don't need any advertisement for Gita. If you practice it, the peace that it will give you, the courage that it will impart you, that itself is the proof of its power and its validity. Bhagwan went on to exhort the people as well as these pundits and the scholars to be engaged in this task of enlightening masses about the principles and the glories of India's ancient spiritual heritage. Swami again said, yeah, there are people who think, what has this Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha achieved in the last 2 years? Swami said, look at the number of people who have gathered here. This itself is a proof of how much goodness is latent in so many people. And all these good things that have been implanted in their hearts, they will yield fruit with time. We will have to foster them. So Bhagavan was not losing any moment, if you see, to instill and to revive the principles of Indian culture as he toured from village to village. On the 3rd of April, Bhagavan visited Kadali and Rajol in East Godavari district. And from there on, Bhagavan went to Satyavada. Satyavada, the village of Suryakanta Magaru, which is near Tanuku in West Godavari district. Bhagavan actually reached Satyavada early morning, 3 a.m. in the morning. 30,000 people had assembled in that place before the daybreak, and they were yearning for Bhagavan's darshan. And Bhagavan climbed with the help of a ladder onto a flat slab over the doorway of a neighbor's gate, and standing there in the sun. And the next day, Bhagavan ensured that everyone's eyes were full with the divine splendor of his form. Many beautiful things happened when Bhagavan visited Kadali as well as Satyavada. But everywhere, Bhagavan was exhorting people to take to the path of satsanga. As so beautifully, Bhagavan himself used to sing, satsangatve nisangatvam. Only from satsanga, you will move on to the stage of nisanga. Sangha with sat, Swami used to say, company with the sat, company with God. That will take you to nisanga. That will take you to a life where you are detached from the world. Slowly you learn to live a life where the worldly turbulences do not affect you. You are like the lotus. You are in the water, but the water is not in you. Nisangatve nirmohatvam. Nirmohatvam. No moha. As I mentioned, nirmohatve nischalatattvam. And that is when you have nischalatattvam, you have a steady mind. Nischalatattve jivan mukti. Once you have nischalatattva, once you have a mind that is in a state of equanimity, no matter what happens, nothing affects the manasarovar, the stillness of the mind. Once the mind becomes so still, then you are just waiting to merge into the infinite. That is the journey, and that is what Bhagavan exhorted all of us to do, and that is what Bhagavan beautifully sang in a bhajan also. I will leave you with that bhajan, and in the coming episodes, we will go on to this beautiful story of what happened in Kadali when Bhagavan visited there on 3rd of April, and then the whole beautiful episode of Bhagavan's visit to the village Satyavada, where Suryakanta Magaru had the opportunity to host Bhagavan in her house for a day. And that's a lovely story. We'll come to that in the coming episodes. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@ssmediacenter.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Leaving you with this lovely bhajan which elevates us. Let us listen to this and let us raise ourselves and rise in love for the divine. Thank you so much, Sairam.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Satsangatve, Nitsangatvam, Nisangatve, Nirmohatvam.
Satsangatve, Nisangatvam, Nisangatve, Nirmohatvam.
Satsangatve, Nitsangatvam, Nisangatve, Nirmohatvam.
Satsangatve, Nisangatvam, Nisangatve, Nirmohatvam.
Nirmohatve, Nishchalatvam, Nishchalatvam, Jivanmukti.
Nirmohatve, Nishchalatvam, Nishchalatvam, Jivanmukti.
Nishchalatatve, Jivanmukti.
Nirmohatve, Nishchalatvam, Nishchalatatve, Jivanmukti.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Satsangatve, Nisangatvam, Nisangatve, Nirmohatvam.
Satsangatve, Nisangatvam, Nisangatve, Nirmohatvam.
Nirmohatve, Nishchalatvam, Nishchalatve, Jivanmukti.
Nishchalatvam, Nishchalatvam, Jivanmukti.
Nishchalatvam, 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 Jivanmukti.